Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And, Jim, we start in a slightly unusual place for the good, and that's with Mika Brzezinski over at Morning Joe on MSNBC. Her comments came in reaction to Hillary Clinton trying to play the victim and the gender card in response to Bernie Sanders, of all people, telling someone to stop shouting about an issue. But here's Bernie Sanders' response to Hillary's position on gun control.
The senator from a rural state, what I can tell Secretary Clinton, that all the shouting in the world is not going to do what I would hope all of us want. And that is keep guns out of the hands of people who shall not have those guns and end this horrible violence that we are seeing.
So Hillary, who's only up by 41 points in Iowa, decided to play the gender card against Sanders on multiple occasions this weekend.
I've been told to stop, and I quote, shouting about gun violence. Well, first of all, I'm not shouting. It's just when women talk, some people think we're shouting. I've been told to stop shouting about ending gun violence. Well, I haven't been shouting, but sometimes when a woman speaks out, some people think it's shouting.
And even Mika Brzezinski, who adores Hillary Clinton and even says so in the preface of her criticism here, can't stand this. She found it pathetic.
That was pathetic.
That's pathetic.
I know that she's the front runner. I'm sure she's going to win and go for it. I'm glad.
You know, she's going to win, but that is pathetic. And by the way,
that was like Veep.
That is the sort of.
That was Veep.
Straight out of Veep. And somebody wrote the line.
It was worse than Veep. It wasn't funny.
And. You know,
when Veep does it, Julia LaRouche writes it, it's hysterical because it's so ridiculous. That wasn't even funny. That was pathetic.
But playing the...
I know sexism.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton knows sexism. She should know better than to let her staff make her do that. It needs to be her. She needs to get out there and talk. Everyone stop writing lines for her. They're bad. Really bad. And when we talk about sexism, when we talk about women and equal pay and all these things that are important, let's not denigrate it with that stupidity. Let's not, because we embarrass ourselves. I'm like cringing.
There's some humorous parts to that. Mika still can't quite put the blame on Hillary because she's got to put it on the staff. But Jim, at least she's going in the right direction.
The irony is, and I mentioned this yesterday, is that Hillary had a golden opportunity to say, you know, I've been accused of shouting on this issue. I just don't think I'm the candidate in this race who's shouting the most. Right? I mean, this is Bernie Sanders. This is his indoor voice. But the idea that Bernie Sanders was making some sort of sexist attack on Hillary when he said made that comment is pretty ridiculous. And I think what it says interesting about Hillary is that she will make this victimhood card. She will play that card even when she doesn't need to, even when it's pretty ridiculous. And I think there's something in this sense. Maybe Hillary Clinton is a candidate for our times because she sounds like one of these college students who is bursting into tears at the thought of a microaggression. You know, the idea that they might hear something they don't like or screaming that they're offended and you have wronged them. She doesn't have to do this. And she chooses to. And I think people get a certain frisson of excitement when they get to be a victim and they get to say, you have wronged me, you know, and put, you know, Bernie Sanders on the defensive. Bernie Sanders said that he has not done anything wrong. And it's kind of good to see Mika Brzezinski kind of come out and say, look, this is ridiculous. There was nothing wrong with this. And it's kind of, in this case, Hillary is kind of jumping into this effort to restrict the words you can use to find a connotation that is not just insulting, but is some sort of beyond the pale social faux pas that dare not be spoken in public, which goes very well with our crazy martini in a few moments, Greg, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and it paints a nice contrast with Carly Fiorina, who wants no support based on her gender but on her competency, and we'll see how she does tomorrow night. The other thing, Bernie Sanders has apparently learned a lesson that most people learned over two decades ago, that just because you're nice to a Clinton, it might mean you get devoured last, but you're still going to get devoured.
Maybe not even last, right? I mean... Here's the philosophy for most politicians, but it's particularly true for the Clintons. What are they going to do on any given day? Whatever they need to do, right? If Hillary Clinton needs to go tell Wall Street that, you know, it's time for this demonization of them to end in a speech to Goldman Sachs, she'll do it. If she needs to turn around and act like she's always been with, you know, Occupy Wall Street, she'll do it. She will do whatever it takes to get through the day and get what she needs. And so, like, I guess it's very clear. If she has to play the victim card, she'll do it.
Yeah. All right, on to the bad martini now, and staying with the National Broadcasting Company. CNBC hosts the next Republican presidential debate tomorrow night, and John Harwood, oddly, of the NBC family, is going to be the moderator of this debate. And obviously there are people at NBC who could be a far worse choice for this job, but John Harwood's a guy who's carried a lot of water for the Obama administration, for Democrats in general, has taken some fairly cheap shots at conservatives in particular, but Republicans in general over the years. So it's hard to see that he's a good choice to moderate this debate, but I suppose we should give him a shot.
That's a good way of putting it. The good folks at The Federalist put together kind of a list of his the worst greatest hits, the exchanges on Twitter and things he's written that really sounded like he was carrying water for the Democrats and kind of felt like Republicans are being just ridiculous in their criticisms about Hillary's server and about Benghazi and things like that. And it's an ominous sign, particularly since the RNC had kind of indicated they didn't want the Chris Matthews of the world hosting Republican debates, folks who we see as if not DNC operatives in network suits, then people who very much are on the left of center and are kind of begin the debate hostile to the Republican Party and everything it stands for. Harwood probably, like, by the standards of NBC employees, probably isn't the worst they could do. I think it's good that these points are being raised. Look, we'll see. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. But there are some people who would have said Candy Crowley wasn't that bad going to the presidential debate. We all remember how she suddenly said, oh, Obama totally called it a terrorist attack, even when he hadn't. And, probably made the biggest and most consequential mistake in debate moderator history.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And it threw Mitt Romney off heading into the third debate on foreign policy, where he completely dodged the issue of Benghazi. On to the crazy martini now. And apparently we're pretty much going NBC all the way here. This was yesterday on the Melissa Harris Perry show. We've featured her at various times, almost exclusively in the crazy martini, and rightly so. I think she's one of the ones who said that the children really don't belong to their parents. They belong to the collective and that sort of thing. Yesterday, she had on a number of people talking about Paul Ryan as the incoming speaker, most likely. And one of them, one of the guests, was a gentleman named Alfonso Aguilar, who is a Latino Republican who's very much in favor of the comprehensive Gang of Eight-style immigration reform. So he was singing Paul Ryan's praises, probably much to the chagrin of Paul Ryan, talking about how Luis Gutierrez was a big fan of Paul Ryan. But he had the temerity to say that Paul Ryan was a hard worker, and that just wasn't going to sit well with Melissa Harris Perry.
Alfonso, I feel you, but I just want to pause on one thing, because I don't disagree with you that I actually think Mr. Ryan is a great choice for this role. But I want us to be super careful when we use the language hard worker, because, I mean, I actually keep an image of folks working in cotton fields on my office wall, because it is a reminder about what hard work looks like. So I feel you that he's a hard worker. I do, but in the context of relative privilege. And I just want to point out that when you talk about work-life balance and being a hard worker, the moms who don't have health care, who are working
I understand that.
But we don't call them hard workers. We call them failures. We call them people who are sucking off the system.
No, really,
y'all do. That is really what you guys do as a party.
That is very unfair.
Jim, if there was a microaggression drinking game, we'd be plastered right now.
That's a good way of putting it. And again, I kind of, as I'm hearing that exchange, I think my first real face-to-face encounter with political correctness and the attempt to suppress speech, I'm thinking back to, you know, freshman year, a logic class. And the professor was a, you know, nice enough guy and trying to explain something. And the class had all completely botched some problem or challenge he had given us. And he's explaining it. And he uses the term rule of thumb. And all of a sudden, there's a woman who raises up and says, you know, you really shouldn't use that term. Because I guess apparently going back enough generations, you could hit a woman with a stick that was not thinner than the circumference of your thumb, but not one that was thicker than the circumference of your thumb. So I guess guys with big hands had, you know, more privilege to be brutal or something like that. But the idea that, you know, the professor was using that expression because he wanted to allude to beating women or something like that was utterly ridiculous. And the professor did not, salute this guy. I can't even remember his name, but he wouldn't give an inch. And he says, you know, no, I'm not talking about that. And you can't bring us into a debate about abuse of women. I'm telling you, here's the rule you should keep in mind when you need to solve the logic problem. And maybe, I guess, you'd say, this is a logic class. There's no room for political correctness here. probably the best way of putting that. Each one of these things is a way of saying, you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to use those words. You're not allowed to use, and it, instead of, you know, choosing words that there is a very broad consensus is beyond the pale, the N word, right? The seven deadly words you can't use on television. We can all kind of agree certain words shouldn't be used. But for this one, now they want to broaden it and expand it so that utterly innocuous terms, shouting about something, so-and-so is a hard worker. All of a sudden, in that case, they want to, you know, come down on you like a ton of bricks because you used words that they have decreed in their minds are some sort of, you know, social death penalty crimes. It's just kind of increasingly ridiculous. And I'm kind of glad to see that guest pushing back on it more and more. I think you put it as, you know, if it was a drinking game, we'd be plastered. Do you think the folks in charge of MSNBC actually watch their channel? And does anybody look at that and say, oh, yeah, that's good television. That's right, you know, like – because, you know, in that term, she used the term hard worker lots and lots of times. In fact, I think the next thing I'm going to do, Greg, is go back and check to see how many times we've seen Melissa Harris Perry use the term hard worker to describe anybody on her program and ask why it was okay for her to do it but not okay for the guest.
Do you think – obviously we're seeing some examples now of the political correctness world running into conflict with different parts of itself. There's a big debate now between feminists and the transgender community over Bruce Jenner being named Woman of the Year by some magazine. So do you get the sense that people are just going to get tired of this and the whole thing is going to blow up, or will it just keep getting crazier and crazier?
I don't know if it was Mark Stein who used the metaphor of like the snake eating its tail. And it's said that it's eating more and more and there's less and – it's kind of advancing further and further to the point where it's getting ready to eat the back of its own head. That ultimately, if your movement is all about suppression of ideas and suppression of forbidden thoughts and forbidden ideas and forbidden things like that, ultimately, you know, obviously certain people like comedians will run into trouble. And that's why you see thought police going after Amy Schumer or the new host of The Daily Show or things like that. It's going to go after artists. It's going to go after filmmakers. There's going to be all kinds of thought crimes in that category. And ultimately, the idea is to get us all marching in lockstep and only, you know, thinking the same thing and saying the same thing and all having the same views. And ultimately, you know, the good news about, for all the problems that are wrong in the world and humanity, the human beings tend to chafe under that. Under every system, you know, going back to the Soviet Union, right? So ultimately, this is destined to fail. It's just a question of when and how much grief and aggravation does it cause along the way to the rest of us.
Mm. Well, at least there's a sliver of hope at the end of the tunnel.
There you go.
Jim, on that exciting note, we'll call time for today and reconvene tomorrow. Have a good day.
Thanks, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today and tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.